007 is back in an all-new adventure that's sure to leave you speechless and confused. Stephen Hawking stars in Quantum of Physics.
As I gaze out into this vast universe, I realize that atomic particles are akin to a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Oh, Stephen. Oops, you're drooling a bit.
The atomic world is nothing like the world we live in, and only one man can save it. Hawking. Stephen Hawking. Quantum of Physics.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Hawking. I expect you to diagram this black hole so I can better understand the fabric of space and time.
Quantum of Physics. Opening soon in a linear particle accelerator near you.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Learn to relax as Fat Time takes a peek at things that made our lives easier that happened on November 13th.
Hot diggity, dog, diggity, boom, what
get your red hots in 1805. Viennese butcher Johann George Lehner invented the Frankfurter.
Slip sliding.
The skiing season was extended in 1946 as the first man-made snow was spread on Massachusetts' Mount Greylock. And women's hands became more beautiful, at least temporarily, as the Lee Company first sold press-on nails today in 1952. That's back time for November 13th. This is your announcer speaking.
A wealthy housewife learned Spanish for some reason. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. In a move that confused friends and family alike, multimillionaire homemaker Claire Thompson took it upon herself to learn the Spanish language and now speaks to her domestic servants in their native tongue. Husband Ron Thompson says his wife has always been a little different.
She's always talking to the cook about recipes and asking questions about her family.
Next year, Mrs. Thompson plans to take a leave of absence from her family and live among the Mexicans in their natural habitat. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero. You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
Hi, my name is Rachel, and my telephone number is... I wanted to tell you that you're evil, horrible people. You're awful people, you represent horrible ideas, God hates you, and he wants to kill your children. You should all burn in hell. Bye!
And now, from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, November 13th. And this is Sam, almost without Susie this morning.
No, I would never leave you hanging.
I'm sure. Well, so you made it right on time.
Yes.
Was that the traffic, or who are you going to blame it on today?
Wasn't the traffic, actually. Traffic was pretty great today. Yeah. I'm going to blame it on my friend Victoria, who's in the studio with us.
Okay, good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Okay, you need to get closer, okay? We need to hear everything you have
to
say.
You got to shove that microphone right in your mouth.
Yeah.
Good morning.
She looks like so gentle and everything, you know?
She can be.
Yeah. Sometimes, huh? Okay. So this is your friend?
Yes, this is my friend Victoria.
How long have you guys been friends?
Not very long, actually.
Really?
I'd say about 4 months.
4 months?
Or
wow.
Three.
Where'd you guys meet?
Actually, do you remember back the second week we did the show, I brought in a guy named Kay?
Yes.
This is her, this is his girlfriend.
I see. Oh, you're Kay's girlfriend.
Yes, hello.
Have you been for a while?
About 3 months.
3 months. Okay. How's it going so far? Good?
He's really great.
Yeah?
I'm having a blast.
They are so cute together. They really are.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
He's really settled down quite a bit with this one.
Yeah. I don't remember much from him, but he was a little strange, right? A little eccentric?
He was very, very quiet, and you wouldn't really talk about much, and you were kind of...
That's right. He was sort of mysterious and shit.
You were like, all right, we'll give something up.
Yeah. Like Kay, yeah. Right. That's the name he was born with, I'm sure.
That was his alias. A lot of the people that want to come on the show, they're like, I want to come on, but like, I don't want to say my real name. The kinds of things you guys talk about. Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah. Which brings up this thing that I brought in this morning. You remember the other day we were reading about, we got some great fan email from China.
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I wake up to this morning. Check this out. Because we have replays of our show before we start, right? So this guy writes to me and he goes, just got a link to your station. I guess you feel the need to be more hip than most. Do we? I don't know.
What?
I guess you feel the need to be more hip than most. I don't need fucking shit from my radio. Perhaps if you had something to say, you wouldn't need to offer... Okay.
Read much?
Yeah.
It's not written that clearly.
Perhaps if you had something to say, then you wouldn't need to... You wouldn't need your gutter lingo.
Oh.
Too bad, too. There seems to be entertaining elements. See you, gutter mouth. Okay, so...
Wait, was that addressed to you?
Or both of us? It didn't address either one of us. It was just someone listening to the replay this morning.
Oh, no. So which show did you play?
I think the one from Tuesday.
Oh, that was downright dirty.
Yeah, it was pretty dirty.
There was a lot of gutter talk that day,
I must say. I gotta tell you that one guest actually canceled after she listened to, archives. Yeah, she's like, "There's no fit here."
Oh no!
So Victoria, you sure you're okay here? Can you deal with the language and everything?
Oh, language? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Okay. God, you're so soft spoken. No, I know you're pretty close to the mic. I don't know where else to bring it up. It's all the way to the top.
You got to talk loud, baby.
I'll just speak up.
There you go. I'm sure you have a lot to say, so let's hear it. You know? So this guest, upcoming guest, she goes, I listened to the show. I don't think there's a good fit.
What kind of artist was she, or what did she have?
I don't know. I don't even remember. Who cares?
That's so funny.
But the funny thing is... I wrote back to this guy, and I said, you know, you have two useful tools. You have your finger, and you have the mouse. And I said, please click to another station. This is not for you.
Oh, no. Even, I was waiting for Victoria this morning. So I'm sitting by my car, and then the Israeli dry cleaner whose dry cleaning place is across the street from my house, he's standing out by his car. He always, like, you know, sends me off in the morning with a big wave. But so I went over to talk to him, and he's like, so, Susie, like, tell me what is this radio show about that you do?
That's not an Israeli accent, but never mind. Victoria, don't let her fool you, okay?
Okay, I'll try again. Hava Nagila. No, never mind.
I used to go out with an Israeli.
Did you really?
He was really nice.
Was he?
His name was Tuval.
Tuval?
Tuval.
Yeah. Oh, Tuval.
Never heard of that name before.
Oh, Tuval.
Are you sure he's Israeli and not posing as one?
No, he was from Jerusalem.
Oh, really?
Or Israel.
Wow.
Jerusalem or Israel.
I think he was from Jerusalem.
Was he good in bed?
Oh, I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Oh, you don't remember,
right?
And I
was really young.
Oh, yeah? How young? how much younger than this? I mean, this girl looks like she just fell out of the crib.
She's 20.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
She's I figured that's about what she is.
She's going to be 21 next month.
Really?
December 21st.
Awesome.
I hear that's going to be a golden birthday because, you know.
A golden birthday.
Yeah, it's a golden birthday when you turn the age of the date you were born.
Oh,
really? Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
I already passed mine.
Yeah.
Shit, I missed my golden birthday.
Yeah, so, you know, talking about this, let me ask you this. At one point in your life, your mother's age is exactly double your age. Do you know when that is?
You know what?
What?
Mine's like right now.
Really?
Yeah. My mom's like 52 or 53.
How old was your mom when she had you?
26. Whoa.
Right?
Yeah. Ah.
Because I just answered my question.
Whoa.
The thing is, if you said she's double now, that means that it becomes double when you reach her age when she had you.
Right? Oh, I got you.
Right? So if she was 20 and you reached 20, she's 40.
We're getting a math lesson.
Yeah, you see? And this is something that I came up with myself, believe it or not.
Sam, you see, I'm pretty sharp sometimes. You really are brilliant, yeah, I must say.
I am, if I do say so myself. So Victoria has got a short red hair, right?
Isn't it so cute?
Yeah, but this is like natural red, right? It looks natural red. Well, maybe it's a little bit colored, but I can see by your eyebrows. You're pretty light, right?
Well, I came out of the womb as a bright redhead, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That must have been so cute.
So you're red all over, pretty much, right? I'm telling you, man.
Well, it's not black, so...
No, it's not black. No, it's not black. But I know usually on redheads, it's like really light skin and pinkish. Everything's pink. There's no black. You know, there's just pink. And I'm going, ah... You know, this is what I want. You know, so I'm sure whoever gets you is gonna have a big honeymoon.
Oh my God!
Hold on, we already have a phone call. Let's see. Good morning. This is Sam and Susie. You're on the air. I guess
Hello?
They're not. They just hung up. But yeah. By the way, speaking of Israel, we are gonna have a very interesting guest. Okay, you guys probably know nothing about it, but you'll learn a nice lesson today.
I dated some Jews that told me about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but this guy is critical of Israel, so this is gonna be, you can imagine, very, very lively.
Wow. Why is he critical of Israel?
You'll find out. You know. But his book is called "Unsettled: The Problem with Loving Israel."
Mm.
Yeah.
So we'll see what his problem is. But I'm looking forward to that.
So that's, I take it, he's not a Jew.
In a few minutes. No, he is too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Probably a self-hating one. Who knows? But we're not going to jump into conclusions.
Do the curtains match the drapes? My stepsister is a redhead too.
Really?
Yeah. And I think I told you this a long time ago at the beginning. But one time I was home for Christmas and I was going out on a date, but I didn't have a bikini wax. So I borrowed my stepdad's face trimmer. And so, you know, I'm down there and I'm like, like trimming myself completely up. But what I didn't realize is that with this kind of razor, you have to empty it out.
I see. Oh, the hair stays inside.
The hair stays inside. So the whole thing is like jam-packed full of like vagina hair. And I don't know, I have to empty it out. So, you know, the next day my stepdad goes to go to work and he goes to shave his face and it's clogged. So he empties it out and he's like, oh, what the fuck? And he's like totally disgusted.
Yeah.
But so then my...
The price of having children, let me tell you.
So we had another family meeting about respecting each other's things. But so, you know, obviously it's my stepsister standing there with her red hair. Uh-huh. It's me standing there with my brown hair. It's my sister, my other sister with her blonde hair. And then we've got my retarded sister who couldn't actually think of doing something like that.
Uh-huh. So then you guys are trying to figure out what color hair.
Well, they didn't want to specifically like blame me,
yeah.
You know, because uh-huh. They're just like, all right, guys, we have to respect each other's things. But meanwhile, it's not the redheads. It's not the blondes. It was obviously mine.
Yeah. Wow.
The things my stepfather puts up with.
I know. God, there's so much to say today, and you brought Victoria on a day that's really busy. But we'll get to you, Victoria. Don't worry about it. But you can jump in anytime. But what I did want to bring up is, did you read in the newspaper, the Inquirer just unveiled that Cindy McCain had an affair. She was cheating on John McCain 2 years
God.
Ago. There's a fucking picture of her kissing this guy.
Kissing.
Go to nationalenquirer.com and see that for yourself. The Inquirer's exclusive bombshell expose is caught with another man. Multiple witnesses caught the pair lip-locking on several other occasions.
How would this not have come out during the campaign?
Well, because it just came out now, I suppose. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, you have to uncover shit like this. But apparently, you're probably not going to the right place.
No, I'm not. Right. How do you spell Inquirer?
With an E.
I have E.
You know, E-N-Q-U-I-R-E-R.
I-R-O.
Yeah.
Inquirer.
But I think I saw it in another place. Oh, yeah, in our news here, I saw that. So, I mean, this is like explosive shit. This is explosive stuff, man. So
that could have been photoshopped.
Well, it could have been, but they're saying there's multiple witnesses. So, you know, I don't know. But all I can tell you is that the National Enquirer, at this point, they can't afford to fuck up, especially not with a story like this.
And you said they were gaining credibility, you know, a while back, like
they
some
were.
Other stories.
They were, because they've been sued so many fucking times for libel and shit that they finally, you know, straightened out. So, Victoria, do you read the Enquirer? You like gossip?
Well, I just like looking at the pictures.
Do you?
Their clothes and their makeup and what they look like without makeup.
Yeah.
I know, those are always the worst ones when it's like, I always feel bad for the stars, and it's like, look, they're real people too. We've got like Jennifer Aniston with no makeup, and you're like, ah, no.
I know, they look disgusting, you know?
Seriously.
Yeah, sometimes flabby legs and shit, you know? Yeah.
Well,
Victoria doesn't have to worry about that one. She's at the beginning.
She has got a gorgeous body, and she always just has, like, she pulls off the most amazing little outfits.
Really? And you're totally covered. I can't see shit. You know? But you've got...
Well, you keep it cold in here, so my nipples will be erect every day, for God's sake, Sam.
Okay. So, I just want to describe Victoria. Okay. She's very pretty, I think. Doesn't need makeup to look good. very short, boyish haircut.
Like a pixie cut.
Yeah, with red hair and smiling all the time. Right?
And she's got gorgeous eyes. They're my favorite part.
Really? Yeah, but she's not great for radio. She doesn't say much.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we'll ask her pointed questions a little bit.
Ask, direct some questions at her.
Yeah.
Let's get our author out of the way, and then we'll redirect.
Okay, so where did you move here from somewhere else?
No, I grew up here in Los Angeles.
Really? The first one, Susie,
on our show. The first one.
The first one on our show.
I know, you're the only one we've ever had that's like actually from Los Angeles.
Yeah. I didn't ask to be born here, I just was.
Oh, check it out. Check it out. That call is from the author. I don't know why he's calling us, but yeah. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hi. I'm scheduled to have an interview with you guys.
Yes, Mr. Mark Aronson. Good morning to you.
This is he. Yeah.
Yes, I know, because I could recognize the number. I thought we were supposed to call you, but you beat us to it.
I actually was calling to give you an alternate number because there's a crackle on this line.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, it sounds good so far, right, Susie?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's stick with it.
Yeah, you sound good.
Well, we're on the air.
Yeah, so... Great. Yeah, welcome. And when I first when I saw a review of your book, I thought we really have to talk about this. Your book is called Unsettled, The Problem with Loving Israel, right, Susie? The problem of, so now describe to us why this is a problem. Now let me remind you, a disclaimer here, that I'm an Israeli American, okay? So we're speaking the same language here.
Okay, well, my grandfather moved to Israel from Kiev. That's the crackle on the line.
Yeah, you're right.
In the 20s, most of my family has lived in Israel ever since. I've been going there throughout my life. I deeply, deeply love the country in all its ways, and I also feel I could never live there. And the reason I couldn't live there is, much as I really honor and respect what the Israelis have built in just 60 years, it's built around an idea that a people needs a homeland.
Right.
And I believe in the idea that all people together live under a set of laws that they agree to honor. I feel more comfortable in a society that's by definition mixed, rather than in Israel's case, where it is in fact mixed in ways we can talk about, but it defines itself as a Jewish democratic state.
Right. But so you don't think it is?
I'm sorry?
You don't think it is democratic?
Oh, I think it's democratic.
Right.
I think the question is whether it should continue to define itself as Jewish. I do think it's democratic. Mm-hmm. That's one of the wonderful things about Israel.
Well, if it weren't Jewish, what else would it be?
It would be, as there's a new book by an Israeli writer named Bernard Avishai. He calls it the Hebrew Republic. It's the republic of all those people who live there, currently the majority of which are Jewish.
Right.
Ah.
Right.
So, this issue, which, you know, outgoing Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has just been speaking very eloquently about, one of the points that is not often known by people other than you, Sam, is that 20% of the citizens of Israel, we're not talking about Palestinians, right of return, West Bank, we're talking about tax-paying, voting citizens of Israel, are Arabs.
Right.
That's a higher percentage than either African Americans or Hispanics within the United States.
Whoa. Right.
So
Israel faces within itself, and the heroes of my book are Israelis, mm-hmm. Jews and Arabs,
right,
who are saying, look, we face this problem. 20% of our nation does not, when they look at a flag with the Mogen David, it's not them. How do you bring that
What's
together?
What's a Mogen David?
That's a Star of David.
Oh.
Yeah. Star of David. I'm sorry.
We're not all Jewish here.
You've got a shiksa in the house.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So in other words, it's just a problem that, as I say, it as any of you, have both of you been to Israel?
I have not.
Susie, have you been there?
No, I have not.
It is the most beautiful country. It's physically beautiful. The people are warm. The country has created a haven for Jews who were attacked and persecuted everywhere in the world.
Exactly.
It is a beautiful country.
Exactly. So why do the Arabs figure into all this? I mean, you know, this is obviously a very ancient and long fight and struggle here. But the question is, why is it that there's a problem? Why is talking about Israel always have to be so emotionally charged when...
I couldn't agree with you more. And here's my example, what I'm trying to do in my book. I grew up in the 60s, and in the 60s, we looked back at American history as it was taught to us in school, and we said, you know what? We really haven't faced the side of American history where there was slavery and there was racism and there were all these various things that we now talk about. And when we started to raise those issues in America in the 60s, some people said to us, you're being unpatriotic, you're undermining America, you're communist, we must stand by our country. But we recognize, and I think this election shows it, that we can be fully American while recognizing that we had had limitations in how we had defined ourselves in the past. Israel is facing that same issue itself. When you say, why are, as you know as well as I do, the Israeli Arab citizens of Israel have been in Israel since the state was formed.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, but you have to remember something. And the United Nations, with the blessing of the United States and Great Britain and other big powers, they've decided, okay, we're going to divide this country and give the Jews a place where they are safe. So that was all in fine. Israel got this, not by taking it, not by war, and yet the day that country was declared, you had seven Arab countries attacking from all directions into this young country, no military, no organized anything yet, and they lost. So they lost,
and we took the land.
So the question is now, they didn't want to go along with the plan. So now they're complaining that they don't have a home, but you know they didn't accept this in the first place.
I'm not talking about those Arabs who left in 48, or even you know who attacked Israel. I'm with you there. I am saying that 17% of the population of Israel in 48 were Arabs.
Right.
They are currently 20%.
Right, and they
those
got their own.
Who stayed home and who, by the analysis of the Shin Bet, the Israeli Secret Service, by the analysis of the Israeli government, are loyal, are not secretly, you know, building tunnels to bring, you know, Hamas or Hezbollah or whatever gunmen in. They are loyal citizens, but within the way Israel defines itself, what are they?
Well, the thing is this, is that you have to remember something. To Israelis, an Arab means someone who hates them, okay? Because that's the way it's been. I don't think that there's a lot of exceptions to the rule. So when you have Arabs living amongst you, you're going to be suspicious, you know?
And suspicious is perfectly understandable. But again, let me give you an analogy that applies to America. In 1954, the U.S. Supreme Court said separate is not equal, speaking of schooling, that blacks and whites needed to go to school together. As you know, in Israel, there are only three schools, in K-12, in which Jews and Arabs go to school together.
Really?
And again, I'm not talking about Palestinians outside of the wall, you know, who are keeping the keys to their old houses and want to push Jews into the sea. I'm not talking about that.
Okay, so you're not really talking about the Palestinian problem at all. You're talking about Israeli Arabs.
Yes, because the Palestinian problem is an international problem.
Right.
It involves many, many actors, and as a first unquestionable line in the sand must begin with the right of the state of Israel to exist.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And
but then, what is that state? And that is what I'm wrestling with as an American Jew who was formed by the civil rights movement.
Right. But
I have to look at these questions. As you know, this week, Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, ran an editorial saying, Obama's victory in America opens up the question. Could it ever happen here? It being could a Could a Russian Jew become the prime minister? Could a Jew from Iraq become the prime minister?
Yes,
could
but this is not, Mr. Aronson, with all due respect, this is not the same thing, you know. I think when the United Nations decided to divide Palestine and give Israel their portion, it was exclusively a place for the Jews where they are safe, okay? And now the problem is this, is that, as you know, hatred towards the Jews is has existed forever, okay? So now when we finally find a place, people still have a problem with it, you know? It's like constantly people are preoccupied with the Jews. Why do you think that is?
Oh, I think a lot of it is anti-Semitism. I think there is
pure
no
hatred
doubt that when people attack Israel saying, oh, Israel, you're an apartheid state. Oh, Israel, you should let in all the Palestinians. And while no other country in the world would do, I mean, Israel won in 48 and it won in 67. Fair, square, no other country has a right to argue with that. That does not, however, mean, again, as you know, and as Susie, we keep trading off as you knows here, within Israel, the debate about what to do with the territories, what to do with the settlements, and about the rights of Israeli Arabs exists on every street corner. And I wrote my book so that we Americans, instead of just having to say I love Israel or I hate Israel, can join in that discussion, just as we have wrestled with our own past.
Right, right.
Why can't we protect Israel, love Israel, and in a lover's quarrel, also raise questions about how it can best have a safe and strong future.
Right, right.
And,
but
and that's what I tried to do in my book.
Now, how do you answer? I did want to mention, though, that this book was written for young readers, right? Or,
right.
or young adults.
I wrote it in many ways for teenagers because I felt that I think teenagers are smart. And so I write all my books with an idea. I feel it's our obligation as adults to pass on our best thinking to teenagers so they can think with us.
Right.
My last book was called Race, A History Beyond Black and White. I decided to tell the history of the idea of race and prejudice to teenagers.
Mark, I think I'm actually going to have to read your book. I feel so ignorant when it comes to this. I was dating an Israeli boy for a while, and we were in New York City together, and we were driving by a bunch of protesters on the street, and they had all these signs, and they're like, free Palestine, free Palestine.
Right,
and I was like, oh, that's nice. And he almost lost it.
Yeah.
He was like, oh my God, oh my God. And he brought me home right away and sat me down and gave me a history.
Why I do this, I feel like that we should share information. We should openly give information to, as we saw in this election, young people got really involved. They are smart,
yes,
and they can be engaged.
Right.
Why shouldn't we approach them on the contentious issue of Israel, whether they're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or atheist or pagan or whatever, or goth, I don't know. Why don't we say, let me give you some smart ideas written in a way that can engage you.
Right. But
and I
got
to tell you, I went to a high school the other day, and this will sound like a line, but it's true. Four 10th graders came up to me afterwards. An African-American girl who didn't know where Israel was on the map, a Hispanic girl who knew about Israel from the Bible, one of the two Muslim kids in the school whose father is an activist for Palestinian rights, and a Jewish girl who's counting the days till she can go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved having the chance to talk, that I gave them the tools to disagree, to agree, to compare ideas. But instead of being the victim of adult spokesmen who are always saying, agree with me, agree with me, agree with me, I'm saying, let's think out loud together.
Right.
Let's
put things on the table. Would you agree that your book is not objective, but rather it takes a stand, an opinion?
Well, what I did, what I am by training a historian, I have a doctorate in history, so I am an Americanist, I don't read Hebrew, I don't read Arabic, but
right.
I read everything I could, and then in the book, I do express my opinions, but I also sent my book to some of the most famous scholars of Israel, in Israel and America, and I asked their judgment of the manuscript.
Right.
So I try to be fair. But I show the opening line of this book is, I love Israel.
Right.
The last line of that same first page is, but I could not live there.
Right.
So
right.
I'm open about where I am in this. But if I, when I came across evidence that didn't agree with where my emotions were, I show that evidence. I'm not hiding anything.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I think when you're trying to present this as historical, trace of like actually going and explaining to people the history of Israel, and you do go into that quite a bit, they at that age, they may not understand that this is an opinion and take this as facts.
Well, I make very clear when I'm speaking as an opinion, and something else I do in all my books. At the back of the book, I show where every single thing I say comes from. Because I always hated it as a student in school when I felt like, how come adults know everything and I know nothing? Where does their knowledge come from? So I leave it there so that if someone wants to look at, how come you say this? Are you right? I'm inviting that student or his or her parents or teacher or Hebrew school teacher or to go to where I got that, look at if I got it right, look at if I left out some key thing. But I think the starting place, the thing about Israel, we were talking about, Susie was talking about her former boyfriend, it's so emotional that I felt for me to write this book saying, the state of Israel was born in 1948. I am a robot. I have no feelings. Would be false.
Right. So it's not an historical account, but rather what you have seen and what you have learned. Now, one last thing, because we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, you know, to live here and to criticize people at another place, you said by yourself that you haven't really lived there or you wouldn't live there. But
right.
How can we sit here? I mean, you know, as an Israeli, I've been here for 32 years. And, well, an Israeli-American, I've lived here longer than I have than I did in Israel. Sure. And, you know, but the thing is that I don't say there's a lot of things I may not agree with as far as the government goes,
right.
But to sit here and criticize them, you know, they have to live every day with all these things. How
right.
can you
and
possibly?
I think you're absolutely right,
right.
And that's why in my book I say exactly what you've said, but the heroes of my book are like this group, Sikkui, S-I-K-K-U-Y, who are Israeli Jews and Israeli Arabs who are fighting within Israel. They're Zionist Jews fighting for the rights of Israeli Arabs, the Arab citizens of Israel.
Right, and there are. I mean, yes, but these
and
are...
So, to me, they're my heroes.
Yeah.
I support what they, knowing the facts on the ground, are doing. I can't tell Israelis what to do. I don't face that.
Right, right.
But I can tell you whom I admire and who I think Americans should hear more about.
Absolutely, absolutely. But these people are considered on the far left, and you know, and that creates a big problem. And that's why, really, Israel is divided among these things, because let's not pretend, you know, what you're bringing up is definitely a topic of conversation every day in Israel, and everybody has their own opinions and stuff. So,
Mark, on a lighter note, I see that you write books about burning witches.
I wrote.
That's not what he called it.
I wrote a book on the Salem witch trials. It was a lot of fun to do, and it's a lot of fun to talk to teenagers about.
I used to live in Salem. I love it there.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, Salem itself is something of like a Halloween theme park.
Yep.
But the story itself is fascinating and a great one to do with kids, because it was teenagers who did most of the accusing, and so you can get kids to ask, well, why did you do it? Why would you falsely accuse your neighbor? Because it was your peer in 1692 who did that. And I have to add one last family note. When I wrote that book, Witch Hunt, my mother reminded me that my parents actually designed the original sets for the Crucible, so I had this link to Salem that I didn't even remember. And so in the same way as Unsettled is very much about my grandfather and my family and my personal connection to Israel, in a strange way, I had a personal connection to Salem via the Arthur Miller play.
And last question for you, what's your connection to Sir Walter Raleigh? Because he's a very, very distant relative of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I won my first prize for that book. I just always loved him. I loved him because he's such a dark, complex guy, and he seemed to me sort of the essence of adolescence. You know, he was sort of erotic and calculating and incredibly aware of He wrote a great play called...
That's my great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Yeah. If he's erotic, that's her grandfather.
Called The Lie.
Yeah.
About how we all wear the mask and how we pretend to be what we're not. And he also wrote, you should read this sometime, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called, he went in search of El Dorado twice.
Mm-hmm.
He twice went to South America in search of El Dorado. And his account of what that meant to him, the gold of South America, is the most beautifully, complexly erotic passage about America that I've ever read.
Very interesting.
So basically, Raleigh gave Virginia the name Virginia after the queen, the Virgin Queen, but also to mean untouched.
Right.
And he wrote about the Americas as this place that he wanted simultaneously to conquer, open, conquest, in effect rape, and at the same time as this perfect place that to touch would be to ruin.
Right. Right.
And to me, that those two emotions held together is probably what all the Europeans felt.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
Mr. Aronson,
I want it, it's open for me. If I touch it, I'll ruin it.
Right. Mr. Aronson, you've been fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's thrilling to exchange ideas with smart people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm definitely going to finish the book. I started it. And it was fascinating reading. And like I said, it is a discussion, and it is highly charged. And I don't think it's ever going to be resolved. And just to put in my last word, I think all of this has to do with hatred, unexplained hatred, and that's why I don't think there's an answer to that, you know. So, at any rate, I talk
about that in my race book. So anyway, yeah, I hope we chat again soon, and I hope, Susie, you read about your ancestor. He was a fascinating guy.
I will.
And definitely,
maybe
we can hook up and have another discussion some other time.
I'm available anytime you want.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, Mark.
It sounded
Aronson?
More like a debate to me.
Yeah. Well, it was a debate, you know. And I know both of you were falling asleep
it's
here,
okay.
But you know what?
It was fun watching you get your panties in a bunch again.
I wasn't falling asleep.
No, you weren't. You're just daydreaming. No, but
we were out very late last night, so.
Yeah, both of you together?
Yes.
Really? Where'd you go?
To the bike shop.
Bike shop. What'd you do at the bike shop?
Drank and got stoned and watched Star Trek movie.
First contact.
Yes.
What is that?
A Star Trek movie.
Oh, really?
At the bike shop.
Now, why would you watch something like that?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny the way every other Wednesday is movie night at our bike shop. We close the bike shop, and then we move all the bikes outside, and then drop a projector screen, and then we all just get together and get stoned and drunk and watch a movie.
Yeah.
But basically, all the movies, they have to show one bike in the movie, mm-hmm. even for a second.
Really?
Yes. And so yesterday, when Earth was like getting destroyed or something, all of a sudden, some guy's riding his bike, and he's like, "Oh!" And like the 1 second bike flash is like all we needed to justify watching that movie.
Well, Kay told me that one of the guys in the film got in a cycling accident, so that's another reason why we watched it.
Yeah, I guess one of the famous people that was in the film was in a cycling accident last week or something.
Really?
So, in honor of him, riding his bicycle.
Trek.
Yes.
I don't know about Star Trek.
I used to hate Star Trek. It used to drive me nuts because my father would always watch it when I was little and he would never pay attention to me. And I'm like, "Daddy, let's go play." And he's like, "Shut up, Star Trek's on."
We watched The Shining. I liked that.
The Shining.
The little boy.
Red drum, red drum. As he's talking about the red drum.
You watched that last night too?
Oh, the other week.
Oh, I see. The Shining. Yeah, that's a great movie. I actually read the book before I saw the movie. So
really?
Yeah.
Is that Stephen King?
Stephen King, yeah.
Do you know, I was actually the second choice for the little girl in Pet Sematary.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I forgot what her name was, but I was like 5 at the time or something when I auditioned for it. And, you know, out of hundreds of people, it got down to me.
Uh-huh.
And it got down to these two little girls, Blaze and Beau. But they were twins. They were identical twins.
Yeah.
And so the reason they ended up going with the twins was because the role was like so freaky and scary
uh-huh.
that if the kid had any kind of like psychological trauma, you know, they could pick up filming with the other kid.
Right, right. But I thought it's also because I think many times they
cast... And labor laws.
Yes, exactly. Mm. That you can't employ the kid for, you know, over a certain amount of hours.
If you're Screen Actors Guild, you've got to... Yeah.
Yeah.
The unions watch out
for you. So then they have...
twins and they each act a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Wow. So you almost were in Pet Sematary. Yeah, that is a scary story.
And then when it came out, like, I don't know, a year later or something, you know, I was six. My mom was like, all right, let's go to the movies. So she takes me to the movie theater to watch Pet Sematary.
Oh, God.
I'm like having nightmares for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And especially if you like cats and shit.
Yeah, I love cats.
Victoria, what about you? You like animals?
Oh, I love animals. Really? Yeah. I grew up kind of in a little suburban city in Los Angeles, and each house on my block came with an animal. Like, my neighbors have goats, and the other ones have lots of chickens, and I had chickens growing up.
You cool. had chickens?
Cool.
Yeah, a little chicken coop, and we'd eat the eggs.
Wow. Listen now, Susie, I have a surprise for you. Look who's calling. It says Faraday.
Shut up.
Yes. Okay, let's get her on the line. She sent a message. Good morning, Faraday. How are you?
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, my God, Faraday.
Hello?
How are you, baby? What are you doing? Where in the world are you? What country?
It says
I'm in south of France right now, in a town called Villefranche, just next to Nice.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you called.
I just wanted to call you and surprise you and say hi, because I haven't done it yet, and I keep meaning to do it.
Oh, my God.
That's very nice. I know you're like a world traveler, right? I mean, since Susie started here, all you do is travel and let everybody know about it on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I work on a private sailboat, and basically we just go where the regattas are or where our owner wants us to be.
Yeah. Our owner.
Yeah, but we're a new boat from the factory. We got built in Finland and got finished about 7 months ago, so now we're getting some warranty work done.
Mm-hmm. So you just work on that boat. That's your job.
Yep, I work on the boat, yep.
Wow, Susie,
she just
goes
all around the world working on the boat.
She knows the life, man. Wow. Now, Faraday, you're Jewish, right, Rosenberg?
My dad's side is, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
You were never really raised as a Jew. We met in Catholic school.
Yeah, we did, but I was the only Rosenberg in that high school, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. That's actually funny. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I think...
Yeah, we had Hanukkah a few times, and I think a few Passover dinners with my grandma.
Cool.
If I remember rightly.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing when you're born to mixed religion people, you know, because, parents.
Yeah, then you get more presents.
That's true, you do, but you kind of don't know where you belong. You know?
Oh, my God. Faraday and I used to model together. We used to go down to the city together and, you know, go out for commercials and modeling gigs.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So
she's beautiful,
more
right?
We're concerned with our independence and putting makeup on the train. Really.
Yeah. Now, Susie, she's beautiful, right?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, do you... So, what do you do for love and sex and stuff? Do you have somebody there that works with you that you like?
Well, I work with my captain. Uh-huh. But I've just been with my boyfriend. He's another captain. Mm-hmm. And... Yeah, I just actually ended that relationship, but...
That was a long relationship.
Really?
Yeah, 8 years, yeah.
But they kept it very spicy in the bedroom. They would go to strip clubs and bring home another girl, and...
Wow!
Yeah.
Faraday!
Actually, can I tell you something? It was so weird. I hadn't seen Faraday in a couple of years.
It was a phase.
Oh, that was just a phase?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But so I hadn't seen her in a couple of years, and I was bartending in Massachusetts. And so I'm behind this bar, you know, I'm slinging drinks, and all of a sudden I see this girl walk in, and she was pretty beautiful. And so I didn't recognize her at first. I was like, okay, she's got really cute boots. And then I was like, wow, she's got great legs. And then I get up to the belt, and I'm like, that's a fabulous fucking belt. Oh, my God. And then I get up to her boobs, and I'm like, oh, her boobs are gorgeous. And then I get to her face, and I'm like, fucking Faraday? Like, Jesus Christ. And I leap over the bar and I, like, rape her. I, like, wrap my arms and legs, like, around her, and I'm, like, humping her in the doorway.
Keep in mind, we hadn't seen each other, though, what was it, like, 6 years?
Yeah, it had been years.
We hadn't even had contact in 6 years.
And she just walks into my bar, like, this tiny, tiny little town. I guess it is the yachting capital of the world, so I guess it kind of makes sense that we had to cross paths there sooner or later.
Right. What, did you guys meet at that girls' school you went to?
No, before that.
Oh, before that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Did Faraday go to the same school?
No, this was a Catholic school that we went to before, and then I went to my boarding school.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, fun. So, are you like a model? I mean, do you model?
Me? Yeah. Now, no.
Not now.
I did two semesters of school in Fort Lauderdale, and I did some promo stuff when I was there, just like Peroni beer girl and Beach tennis. I had to jump around on the beach all day. But besides that,
they just wanted to see your boobs bounce.
I would have loved to jump there with her. What was that, Faraday?
Some sort of, you know that movie that came out, The Waitress? With Carrie Russell? Anyway, there was a premiere in Miami, and I had to dress up in her costume and hand out mini pies.
What a fun job.
That's about all the modeling that I've been doing.
Oh, Faraday.
What a fun job.
That's hysterical.
So are you planning on coming back to the States anytime soon?
Well, actually, funny you should say, I've just booked a flight and flying into Boston on December 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And then are you going up to Maine?
I'll be going up to Maine to spend a week with my brother, and then I'm going down to Antigua for Christmas because I just got the winter off from the boat that I work on.
Yeah.
She
works so hard, she needs a vacation now in Antigua.
Yes.
this whole friggin' life is a vacation.
I still have my plane ticket to Antigua.
What, didn't you have one to St. Martin?
Or no, was it St. Martin or Antigua? Yes. No. Where was I flying into? I don't even remember.
You were going to come to St. Martin, but if you still have the ticket, we should meet out there.
I know. We totally have to. I need a vacation, too, anyway. Yeah. Seriously.
I know. You guys work so hard. All right.
Why don't you come to Australia with me in end of December?
End of December, Australia.
Through the middle of January. I bought a plane ticket, and I'm going. I've got no plans nothing to do. I'm so scared.
Can you surf?
Yeah, I can surf.
Well, you can surf there.
I need a partner in crime. That's where I'm trying to go here.
Yes, fair.
I can put you in. I don't think I can go. I can't really justify it. I promise that I'd spend Christmas with my parents for the first time in a long time. But I can put you in touch with a lot of cute yachty boys that are there.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. You see, you said the magic word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes, please.
That's one of the perks of the job. You kind of have a boy in every port.
Wow. Amazing. And
I thought I was doing well with a boy in every state.
Yeah. I know. Well, somebody out there.
Yeah, but then you're stuck with Americans. I got the international set.
You know who I've started actually preferring? Canadians. I really like those Vancouver boys.
All about it?
All about? What about it?
Yeah. Faraday, well, I think it's a waste someone beautiful like you not being in the States, because I'm sure Americans would have loved to take advantage of taking you out or something. But thanks so much for calling. I mean, I knew when you were calling, Susie would just be like blown away.
I haven't talked to her in like a year.
Wow.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
Yeah, that was kind of you to call. Awesome.
I know. Thank you so much for surprising me, Faraday.
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, wait, what?
First time I've had a really good internet connection in a while, so I thought I'd do it now.
I just wanted to say one other thing. What do you think about all of our friends, like, having babies? What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
It's just more and more and more.
I know, they just keep coming and coming and coming. Leah's not married, is she?
Not that I know of.
They're all having kids out of wedlock, all of our friends.
Really?
Yes.
No, there's half of our friends are all just recovering from being in rehab, and the other half are all having babies.
Oh, God. What has happened to this country?
Faraday was one that taught me how to smoke my first cigarette.
Really?
Yes.
Was I?
Yes, and you and Courtney and everyone, you taught me how to inhale and exhale, and you made fun of me because I wouldn't. And then we would have naked dance parties in her mom's dance studio and, like, jump in and out of the hot tub, Sam.
Oh, my God.
You would have liked to have been a fly on that wall.
Do you still smoke, Faraday?
Cigarettes?
Yes.
Only the last 2 weeks, actually, because I was going through a bit of a rough breakup, but really.
It's so hot when a woman smokes, I think, you know?
No, you're, I think, one of the few people in the world that thinks that.
No, it really is. It's, like, sultry, sexy, I don't know. But it's cool, I think.
Oh, my God.
Turns me on.
Remind me to tell you something about that in a second.
Right. Listen, I gotta go, you guys. It was really nice to talk to you.
Awesome. What the
hell?
Take
care, Susie. We'll be in touch, yeah?
Yes, I love you, Faraday.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
What? What the hell is that noise?
I guess her phone was ringing. Phone,
yeah. Was that a phone? Well, you know what? Let's take a little break. We need to focus on Victoria now. I feel so bad, you know?
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a lot to find out. You seem like a deep person. And we'll get there. So stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
It's the cologne for the man who was part of the family, if you know what I mean, right? Forget about it. A fragrance for when you put out a hit on smelling like a rat. Forget about it. The scent that is perfect for Little bada boom and bada bing. Hey, forget about it. Forget about it. From Tony Soprano. For the made man and all of us. It's available at freaking Walmart over here.
Radio on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And you're back with a gutter mouth.
Oh no, that's so funny. That was our first piece of hate mail, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh no, but actually, with the fan true. Mail, all of a sudden we're getting inundated with fan mail. Now we get hate mail.
I know.
Ooh.
I know. Well, we're in the studio with Victoria, and now we're going to focus on you.
Hello.
Okay, so to those just joining us, Victoria is Susie's friend.
Mm-hmm.
You've known each other for 4 months.
Yes.
And so, Victoria, what do you do now with your life? Do you go to school?
Well, no, I'm all done with school. I went to...
At 20? You're done with school?
Yeah, I went to Citrus College in Glendora, and I took an esthetician program.
Oh, yeah?
It was about 1,200 hours, and...
That's a long time.
Yeah, esthetician is a person that does facials and makeup and waxing.
Right. Makes your face aesthetic.
Yeah. Makes you aesthetically pleasing. Oh, you do waxing.
Yeah, I could do waxing.
Like Brazilian?
Oh, yeah. School, that was like one of the best things I've ever done. I took a night class, so it'd be like me and all my girlfriends. I actually had friends too.
You actually enjoy waxing?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Really?
I mean, like, it's I don't know.
No, there's something so amazing about like putting like or having like a bikini wax and that first rip when you have all the hair, you're just like, yes, get it.
I don't know. I think she just likes it because she stares at a gaping vagina.
No, that's not. If anything, I like the people hurting in me, but like, it's what they want. You know,
really?
They want.
They
to
won't
do that.
Pay.
But really, it's not a good idea to do Brazilian wax because it makes you loose. You know, it keeps...
Oh, flabbing all the
hair.
Yeah,
it really, like, takes away all the elasticity. It's not a good idea.
Wait a minute. So, but what's Brazilian wax?
That's when you get
all of it,
the way
all
in
of
there.
It. So you're saying if you go, like, to the labia majora, it can loosen it up?
Definitely.
Really?
If it's being tugged on like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Ripped.
Flapped around.
Because when you wax, you're... Mm-hmm. You know, the hair follicles.
Yeah, that's true.
Right out.
Yeah, wow.
So I like my ass being waxed.
Yikes.
What?
Why am I not surprised?
I don't know. There's something, and then it's so amazing. As soon as it's done, you're just like, oh my God, my ass is so cute and sexy.
I know. It's just, I think it's the weirdest thing, though, that women have hair in their ass, you know? I mean, it's just like,
it doesn't belong there.
I know, but it doesn't belong there on a woman, you know? Like I said, you know that I like bush and everything. Not big.
He likes mature muff.
Yeah, not a savannah or anything, you know? But mature muff.
Oh God.
No, but I mean, today it's like everybody's into shaving and waxing and shit, you know. But I grew up.
It's
on,
nice to have it shaped.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you ever? Did you ever get to do any different shapes in people, like stars or initials? Can you like?
Oh, I did a heart one time.
How did that work out? Good.
No, it was very sloppy.
Yeah. I would imagine you have like sharp edges there on the heart.
Well,
you know?
The way the hair grows, it's like in a pie, and you have to take it out like the way it's growing. So you gotta like.
Yeah, like a pile like on the carpet, right? Or on a rug or something.
Maybe,
right? Yeah.
No,
so it has a certain direction.
No. It's kind of pie-shaped, the way the hair grows. Like,
oh, pie-shaped.
I like round.
Oh, yeah, like the pubes, right? That's why they're curly
like
that.
Yeah, like the pubes.
Yeah, that's why they're curly.
Oh, God.
Well, we try to be specific here, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, needless to say, Victoria, you don't get a Brazilian wax.
No way.
Yeah. Cool.
You don't like the pain?
My kind
no.
of...
No.
Oh.
I would never do that. It's just silly.
We should have a waxing party.
Yeah,
unless you have to, like, be in, like, a bikini and look, you know...
Yeah.
I know.
You see, Susie thinks I was, and it was Chase also. You guys thought I waxed my back, which is not the true at all. But I think Susie would have me wax my chest because it's very hairy.
Yes.
You know? She was teasing me about it at the topless walk.
At the topless walk we did.
Yeah. I like guys with hair. I think guys should keep whatever they have that makes them men.
I think so too.
Hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not right for men to wax, Susie, you know? And it's just not, I don't know. I mean, it looks good, you know, when a guy's muscular and everything. It probably wouldn't look as good with hair, you know? But I think for the average person, the average man, I agree with you.
You know, if a guy that I'm dating has chest hair and stuff, I mean, I like to grab it and rip it and pull it out with my teeth. You know, that's fine. What?
What?
Sorry.
No, why are you sorry?
I mean, I don't know. Just you guys are both looking at me like I'm fucking crazy.
Well, you are crazy, but
thank
that's
you.
Besides the point.
Victoria, did you know what you were gonna... I guess I really didn't tell you what you were going to be getting into when you came.
No, but I'm taking it easily on her because I can see she's a little uncomfortable with sex and stuff. So we're not going to go there that much. You know, at least not on the radio. You're not comfortable with
whoa.
Her. But have you...
I think she is.
Yeah. Have you done any modeling at all?
A little bit.
Yeah? You into it?
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
She photographs so well.
It's
like,
not
oh
something
my God.
I'd want to do.
No. So, okay, so you went to school for that. What do you do? Do you actually do?
Well, I just got my esthetician's license, and it's pretty hard finding a job.
Really?
Most places I've been to have said, I need 2 years' experience, but how am I supposed to get 2 years' experience when no one hires me?
Yeah, that's the biggest problem that young people have.
I think I just have to work at like a yeah. really shady kind of spot.
No,
shady place.
But you know what? Work for half the fee and they'll take you. No problem. I'm telling you. You know, so just go to a place, say, you know, I just got out of school and I don't have that much experience, but I'm really good, blah, blah, blah. Give me a chance. You know, what the hell, you know? Yeah, give the salon owner a waxing or something.
Let her know what we can do? Sam and I can set up like a fake phone number here, and they can call, and we could be like, you know, thank you for calling, you know, Susie Salon. And I'll be like, oh, Victoria, oh my gosh, she is so wonderful. You know, she's been here for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what everybody does, Victoria. I mean, you should do the same fucking thing, you know? They can't find out.
Fuck.
Yeah, Susie will be your boss.
Actually, yeah, no, seriously, we could do something like that. Once upon a time, when my mom always used to tell me, because I would throw a temper tantrum, and then I would be like, fuck you, to my boss, and I would quit and like just walk out. And so I had done that with like 10 jobs in a row. And my mom was like, Susie, you can't burn your bridges because you need those references.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't. And then one day I really needed all the references. And I was like, fuck. So I had 3 of my friends set up different voicemail accounts. And I put those numbers as like the, you know, the jobs. And they're like, oh, Susie. Oh, she's fabulous. Oh, my God. She's always on time. You know, never wears a bra, like see-through shirt. She's great. You guys will love her.
That's the way to do it, man.
I know.
Yeah. Otherwise, you can't make it. I'm telling you, Victoria. You got to start somewhere.
You got to hustle.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you with this hustle part.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. I'm kind of lazy, maybe.
Are you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I'm lazy, too.
I don't know. I'm just having such a great time not working. I feel like once I start working, I'll be working for the rest of my life.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, you can plan it the way you want, you know? Yeah.
So
just find the sugar daddy, first of all. No. Let me give you advice about life, okay? First of all, forget about that boyfriend. He's too young, okay? You need someone with money, all right? You need money and experience. And trust me, you'll be taken care of for the rest of your life. And then you just move on, you know?
A.K.A. don't date a homeless unemployed boyfriend like mine.
Yeah. Or marry a rich guy. Be with him for a couple of years. You get half. You move on.
Sam, that is so wrong.
But you gotta start with money, Susie.
Sam, no. I have no money and I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Me too.
You too.
I'm completely broke.
Yeah, but you won't be when you're 30 or 40.
So I wanted to thank Victoria because she was in New York as well for Bike Kill, that event.
Oh, yeah?
So when Victoria found me at Bike Kill, I had already had 2 old English 40s for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And then I had moved on to the Sparks, and I had it's an orange-flavored malt beverage.
Uh-huh.
So then I started drinking 4 of those. I was so drunk by the time she got there that I turned green. And yeah. She and my friend Hinako, they both like grabbed either side of me, and I'm like, I'm going to puke. Oh, my God.
Oh,
and
God.
They both held my hair back.
Susie, you're fucking drunk, okay? You better fucking accept it.
And then
people
you got
don't
in a taxi.
Like this.
And then I called a limo to come get me.
Well, better than driving, shit.
You
know?
You're in New York City, you don't have a car.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, Susie. I mean, fuck.
I
why
know,
why bring
bad.
Yourself to
it was
that
bad.
Point?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't do that anymore.
No. Yeah, it's only been 2 weeks ago.
It was like 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
It was a long time ago, wasn't it?
I think it was about 2 weeks ago.
Shut
yeah,
up.
That's a long fucking time.
Are you taking his side now?
Yeah.
No, not
even,
at all.
Even 3 weeks, Susie, is a long time. Three
well,
weeks
whatever.
Is a long time.
Everyone's got to start somewhere with their recovery process.
That's true.
Now I'm down to a bottle of wine a night.
I see. That's all? Just
yes,
one?
Yes, just one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Can you drink a lot?
Oh, Victoria? No, not at all.
No?
God, no.
Yeah, but you like pot, huh?
Oh, yes. That's probably why I don't like drinking.
Yeah.
I just don't like the way it makes me feel. It makes me feel like I need to sit down and dizzy.
I know,
and
you can't focus on anything, right? Your eyes are like all over the place. I don't know. That's the way
I get
I'm
migraines, and I just feel nauseous.
Yeah.
It's a drag. It's a real drag.
Yeah.
So I like smoking weed.
Yeah, it's definitely
I
a totally different
grounded
buzz.
When
yeah.
I smoke pot.
Yeah, it's a totally different buzz, you know? Yeah, I have to agree. Yeah.
You're such a little hippie star.
I don't even get that paranoid shit.
No,
only
no.
sometimes.
Because it's that's but your natural. Natural drug, you see, everybody's got natural drugs for the body. Like for Susie, it's alcohol. You know, there's some people.
No,
that,
it's just about anything.
There's some, yeah, but some people. But that's your drug of choice is alcohol, right?
Well, on a daily basis, I
yeah,
suppose.
On a daily basis.
Yes,
okay.
Ketamine would be my drug of choice if I could have it every day.
My birthday's coming up.
Is it
right?
Really?
And I'm planning on going to the desert in Yucca Valley and. Yeah, I'm going to have a real great time.
Really?
She's going to take mushrooms
and smoke
in the
your
desert.
Brains out.
Take some...
Mushrooms, too?
Yeah.
Wow. That'd be cool.
Go on a little adventure in the night.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take them, like, around 4 or 5, so when the sun comes up, I'll be like,
oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah.
That's my favorite thing.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing, though, when you smoke pot? I mean, everything's, the trees are greener, the sky's bluer, you know, all the colors come out.
I feel that way on mushrooms.
Do you?
Yes.
I mean, music is like the best thing ever. Sex is the best thing ever.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I mean.
I love to masturbate when I'm stoned. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. I know.
I know.
But you know what you actually mentioned, Susie, that you preferred, when you get high, you prefer to masturbate than to have sex.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I feel the same way.
You just like to be in control of yourself at all times.
I guess. I don't know, but.
I never do that.
You never do what?
I never masturbate. I just don't.
Never?
Like, it doesn't feel
ever,
good.
Ever, ever?
No, I need, like, you know, like smells and stuff like that.
Wow, really?
I don't know. I need someone else there. It's just.
Do you think it's because you're uptight because of upbringing or something? No, really.
Well, I've been told I was uptight, but yeah. I don't think I am. I just.
I mean, but you've tried masturbation?
Yeah, it just doesn't, you know.
Oh my God, I do it like every day.
You're the only person in the world that feels that way. Yeah, I mean, look, some people don't masturbate maybe because it's you know, against their religion or whatever, but
it just doesn't feel good. I like really? You know, penetration, I guess.
Yeah, well, maybe you need a dildo and a
no,
vibrator.
No, I've tried that.
You've tried vibrators?
Yeah, it's not the same.
Oh, well, it's definitely
not. No, it's not the same.
It's definitely not
but,
the same.
But usually masturbation orgasms are a lot stronger.
Actually, you know what I just remembered? I had phone sex last night.
Did you really?
Yes. Well, oh my God.
You forgot to tell us about it.
I totally forgot to tell everyone about it.
Yeah. Who did you have it with?
With Franz.
With Franz.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Okay.
He was on his couch in New York and he's like, I was like, all right, come on, let's have phone sex. He's like, Suze, I'm on the couch. Like, what if my mom comes down? I was like, shut up. It's like 4 a.m. Your mom's not coming down. So off we went. Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh,
so you couldn't even have phone sex.
Well, I don't know.
You're missing out on so much. I think you're still uptight, you know? But, I mean, I would think at the age of 20. No,
are you
really.
Going to take that from him?
No, I'm
no,
not.
No, I mean, I'm not putting her down. It wasn't meant like an insult.
Uptight, that's like a bad thing, right?
No, not really. It just means that you're not comfortable doing certain things, I think. No,
it's not that I'm not comfortable. It just doesn't feel good.
It doesn't
good.
Feel good for you. Okay, I guess we can accept that, you
yeah.
know? I guess
yeah.
we can accept that. Maybe you don't know how to do it.
Sam's offering to teach you.
Yeah. I mean, because he's missing out on so much. My God, you know? So what would you do if you, like, if you're not in a relationship
If I were unemployed, I would just stay home and masturbate all day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What the fuck? You know, if I had tits, I'd play with them all day. You know?
I kind of do. I'm always like,
do you? Yeah. I know. But that's what every man says. You know, if I had boobs, I'd just stay home and play with them all day.
They're not that fascinating after a while.
I suppose, yeah.
I guess if mine were bigger, they might be. I don't know.
Yeah. But no, Victoria, so when you're not in a relationship, then just no sex, huh? Why are you looking? She looks at me like, what the fuck?
Wait, when I'm not in a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, so how do you...
I don't know.
So just there's no sexual pleasure there. Okay.
Well, all right.
Well, look, that's fine. I mean, we accept you the way you are, you know?
Hmm.
I just think you're weird, but...
I guess, I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I
mean, take
look,
mushrooms and stuff
You
like
take
that.
Mushrooms and shit. Yeah, instead. So you probably always manage to be in a relationship then, right?
Well, not all the time, but...
No? Okay.
But mostly...
Right now, yes.
Yeah, right
and
now.
And I'm very, very happy.
Yeah.
You have to talk loudly, darling. Loudly. Yeah.
I am so fucking happy.
Yeah, are you really? I think you probably have a hard time talking sex about someone probably as old as your dad, huh?
What?
I'm probably as old as your dad.
I'm not even thinking about that.
Oh, okay, good. Because I thought she's nervous about it or something.
Nah.
But yeah, because, you know, I mean, you're actually only 2 years older than my daughter. I mean, my God, you know? And yet, you know, I find her very attractive. You know, I mean, I'm not
Sam.
Trying to, I'm not trying to say anything, but you know.
Well, it's because you're a horn dog.
Well, okay. So, I mean, I'm guilty, but what's wrong with that?
You know? Nothing. I have a question. Do you think the author, Mr. Aronson, thought I was an idiot when I told the story about driving by in the street and I was like, "Oh, free Palestine. That's nice."
Yeah, that wasn't any worse than the mooing cow you mentioned to the guy the other day. Okay, that was even worse.
There's
but
no-
that's what you're here for.
Thank you for your comic amusement.
Oh man.
And I also want to tell
no,
you
it's to make fun of the serious guest. Yeah. And they're like, I mean, when you mention it, he's like, what the fuck do I say to that?
The mooing cow?
The mooing cow, and then this guy also, you know?
No, I think he was kind of approaching me like I was one of his teenagers that he goes to at the seminars, you know? He was very polite and trying to include me in the conversation. He would like be like, and Susie? And I'm like, oh yeah, huh? I'm still here.
No, listen, I mean, I didn't expect you to be that involved in the conversation. I mean, obviously, I have a connection to this topic and everything, you know. But
Sam's a Jew.
But, yeah, but I thought I'd, you know.
No, it's good for me to know because
yeah, exactly.
Once learn I joined J-Date, you know, what if the Jews.
J-Date.
I'm joining J-Date, Victoria. Sam's paying
That's
for
right.
my.
That's right. I was supposed to enroll
Sam's,
you.
Sam's paying for my first month because I'm going to find me a good Jewish boy out there. So I'm actually going to read this book. That way I could be well-versed in the history of Israel and the Jews.
If you were to go out with a Jewish guy, his mother wouldn't like you because you're not Jewish.
I know. That's what I keep trying to tell Sam.
It wouldn't work.
You're right.
Sorry. Yeah.
But that's okay because she doesn't have to be accepted by the mother. You know, I mean, if she likes the guy and everything, then if the mother chooses not to be in touch with you, then she's got a problem.
Then good riddance.
But no.
No meddling mother-in-law.
I mean, you have a lot of mixed marriages like that, you know, and people do it all the time, you know. Yeah, I don't think Susie would be affected by what her mom thought about a guy
Hell
that she
no.
brought home, right?
And I think it would just be amazing if I go home for Christmas and it's like, Mom, Dad, I'm turning into a Jew. I can't wait to do that.
I would
that.
Love that.
I think I'll do it this Christmas, just for effect.
Yeah. They're going to slit their wrists.
No, if they haven't by now, trust me, they'll be fine. Nothing could surprise them.
No, but I'll bet you she'll find a nice Jewish man and she's going to be the happiest girl in the world.
I'm going to be a
Jew.
She's sorry. She doesn't want me to be a Jew.
No, that's not what I meant.
So, Victoria, so what do you do with your time? I mean, you said it's hard to find a job.
I just drive around and hang out.
Fuck, well, she's got the life, Susie. You know?
I hang out with my boyfriend and I
have sex.
And he doesn't work either?
No, he does.
Oh, okay. So.
And I hang out with friends and I drive back and forth to the two...
Yeah, that's a hard life, Victoria. My
no,
God,
no. I go to concerts. And
wow, that's awesome.
That.
Enjoy it. I mean, what the fuck? You're 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. don't start working until you have to.
I agree.
Yeah,
that's what I've been trying to hold off on. Real jobs.
God, I miss being 20 years old, man.
Wow. A long time ago, Sam.
Yeah. You know what I would give to be your age now? I mean, because
you're
you
saying
see,
it like she's that much younger than me. I'm not that much older.
No, but
than
I've
her.
Said that to you too. I've said that to you too. I mean, the thing is, you see, you guys are richer than I am because you've got more time than I do, right?
Mm.
So I think that's when you're really rich. You've got time, you know. The hell with money and everything. So you guys really, you know, because I remember,
this
you know,
coming
when you're
from the
young,
guy who tells me I should have sex for money.
So I've never
up.
Said that.
You did too.
No, I just
you're
said
like if you like having sex, why not have sex and get paid for it?
Yeah, well,
isn't that saying I should fuck for money?
No, did I say that?
That's
said
exactly
that you should,
what you said verbatim.
No, I
does
said,
that not sound Victoria? Does that not sound like he's telling me to fuck for money?
That sounds exactly.
No, but I don't think I said like that. I think what I said to you is if you're gonna get into a relationship or if you're gonna get married, marry someone with money.
Or, basically, he's telling me to fuck for money.
I did not tell you to fuck for
you
money.
You did too.
It should be about love.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And money, according
to
Sam.
No, I never said that to you. I never told you.
You did too.
No, you
We
you
had like
got
a whole show that was like half an hour of like you telling me to fuck for money.
No, I did not tell you that.
You don't
I
remember
just said,
shit because you've got the memory of a goldfish. So
okay,
dip,
but
dip,
never
dip.
Mind. The point is that if you remember what I said, I always said to you, if you want... if you're going to get into a relationship, get into one with money. That's all I said. I didn't say go and fuck for money.
Well, that's why I'm going on...
That's being a hooker. I would never propose.
That's why
I'm going on J-Date.
That's why I'm going on J-Date.
Yeah. I never propose.
So I'll get some nice rich Jew.
Yeah. I would never drive you to prostitution.
But what if the Jew's too cheap and he makes me like go 50-50 on the date?
Then find another Jew. That's not so cheap.
Oh, my God. I'm awful.
Yes, you are indeed.
Ay, 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 ay.
Oh man, you know I need a bathroom break, man.
Okay,
let's take a quick one. I guess we were supposed to have a guest, but I never expected her to show because
you didn't confirm.
She didn't confirm, and I was, and it happened like a long time ago.
Maybe
you know, like
maybe she listened
ago.
To our show and then she realized she didn't want to come on.
Yeah, just like all the other guests, right?
Oh well.
Okay, we'll take a break. No, we won't. We'll take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Looking for the hottest tickets to the coolest swearing-in ceremony? Then log on to inaugurationticketmaster.com.
cool. Two front row tickets for Obama's oath. What? $12,000 each?
Face it, all the hope in the world isn't going to get you a free ticket. So your only choice is InaugurationTicketmaster.com.
Awesome. A pair of tickets for only $25 in section 325. Let's see where that is. Bethesda, Maryland!
InaugurationTicketmaster.com. With prices like this, you'll say, keep the change.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Let me tell you something.
McDonald's understands it's getting harder and harder for families to stretch their food budget. So we've supersized the savings with our all-new 25-cent value menu. Check out this big cup of slimy scrapings from our greasy grill, just 25 cents. Or how about some extra salty French fry crumbs, 25 cents. Or maybe half a pan of dropped McNugget breading swept from the floor, only 25 cents. And for breakfast, try the tough skin from around the Egg McMuffin Canadian bacon, just 25 cents. McDonald's, we know you'll eat anything, and we're loving it.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
That McDonald's thing was disgusting. Who makes these things up? I like, seriously.
I don't know. There's people that get paid to do this shit.
Oy. Oy.
Yeah.
So yesterday, after you canceled the show, I slept in a little bit later. You know, I woke up at like 9, and then I was like, oh, what am I going to do with my day? I have no idea. So I'm just like fucking around on the computer, and then I was like bored of Facebook, and I'm like, all right, what else can I do? And I was, you know, on J-Date again, just like looking over my 12 options that I've got on the front page. And so then I was like, all right, I'm going to go on Casual Encounters on Craigslist. So I started like emailing back and forth with a couple of the guys that I had met on there based upon like their titles.
Right.
You know, just for the fun of it.
Do you realize you're the only legitimate girl on there?
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
So I get this one, and it, you reminded me of this before when you said you think it's really sexy when a girl smokes. So this one guy says, non-smoker seeks female who smokes cigar.
Really?
So I type back and I was like, I love cigars. And then he types back, he's like, really? Well, you know, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, let's chat. It's like, tell me about yourself. So we go back and forth. We're telling each other all about each other. And so turns out he lives over in East Hollywood and he's one of the writers for South Park.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So what's he looking for Casual Encounters?
Well, his car...
Does he really want to know?
His car... Well, what I wanted to know was, was he talking about a real cigar?
Mm.
You know, did he just have an oral fixation and like watching women like put the cigar in their mouth and like think of all the things it would symbolize? Or did he want me to smoke his cigar?
Probably. That's what it's there for. I mean, that Casual Encounters shit.
Yeah.
But it's all hookers and stuff, you know? That's why I'm saying you're probably the only one. And not only that, but you approach the guy, you know?
I know. It's so funny.
You see, she does crazy shit, you know?
I met him.
You met him?
Mm-hmm.
What? Fuck you. Oh. Susie.
I did.
You met the guy.
I met the guy.
And?
Kind of creepy.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you thinking? Okay, you met him in a public place, though, right?
Yes.
I don't want just yes or no answers. Would you fucking tell us what happened?
Yes, I met him at a public place.
Yes.
And yeah, we just ended up like chatting and
what
everything.
Were you thinking?
What was I thinking? I want to go meet this person.
Did you want to have sex?
No.
So you just wanted to meet him?
I just wanted to meet him.
Wow.
You gave me the day off and I was really bored. I had nothing to do. So I wanted to go and have a random encounter.
Right. And?
And he's actually really cool. I'm gonna help him learn how to play chess a little bit better. And we're going to play golf. He's my new friend.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
But I don't think he wants to be a friend, Susie. He went for Casual Encounters, okay?
Well, he also told me that he had...
unattached
he also
sex,
told me
sex.
That he had done this before, or he'd never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what everyone says. But he said, you know, his car was in the shop for the day, and so he was working from home, and he's a writer, you know, so he's writing, and then he's like, I was really bored, so I just decided to post this Craigslist thing for the same reason that I went on there, you know? It's like, I'm really bored. What am I going to do? So it was the exact same thing. He's like, I just, you know, I'm a writer. I think of funny things, and I want to see what kind of people certain things are going to attract. And he's
right.
And this is awesome.
Fucking bullshit, you know?
Thank you.
Good morning, Sam and Susie. You're on the air.
Oh, really? Hey, Susie.
Hanako.
Hey,
hi, Hanako.
Who is that?
This is Hanako.
Hanako. How are you, Hanako?
I'm doing all right. I just miss, like... I feel like a minute of what could have been awesome, whatever, when you were asking if the guy wanted to smoke cigars with you or wanted you to smoke his cigar. So I just, like, I, like, take a headphone out for a second, and I'm like, what did I miss? Yeah, I'm at work right now, and they keep asking me stuff because, you know, I'm supposed to be working.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, hold on. Can you come back at 11? All right.
Yeah. See, that's what most people do. They work and they listen to us in headphones, so nobody will hear.
I know, right? Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, one of those things, my supervisor is the only one, like, in our small office area. Like, I'm in the accounting office, so she has speakers and frequently leads them on with her, like, smooth R&B.
Smooth jazz. Kenny G.
There's a reason why I don't have speakers, and that's because I'd be listening to this show or to Peaches or something.
Yeah, they'd throw you out of there.
Sure, that's not work appropriate.
Yeah. No, definitely not. Definitely not. Did I tell you, Sam, about Hanako? She was in New York, and she was riding a bike, and she got doored.
Really?
Wow. So, yes. Do you want to tell the story, Hanako, really quickly?
Sure. So we're in New York for Bike Kill, and a bunch of people only flew in for a couple of days, so they were leaving on the Monday, and this is like Sunday night. So some people had been doing a ride, and we're in Manhattan, and then we're coming back to Brooklyn. So it's like, all right, we're going to get in like one last like late night / early morning bike ride or whatever, going to like a graveyard or something. You know, they don't call us midnight riders for nothing.
Drunk, and, I'm sure.
I was on the brass monkey circuit for the whole weekend. Just like a slow, like easy thing. Like, you know, just like
a mellow drunk. You've got to maintain. You've got to maintain.
Not getting like plastered, but just like continues being on this level, right?
I got to take lessons from her.
Yeah.
4 in the morning, and we're riding, and at some point, like, get turned around. We're riding back, and a bunch of people are in front of me, and my friend Lahar is behind me on his bike, and riding around, and probably like turning to make sure he's cool and whatever, and catching up to people. And so we're on this one street, Flushing, and it's like at this point, like a really slow grade downhill, like really, really slow, but enough to pick up a little speed. I'm like, out of nowhere, this dude just like, it's like a one, was it a one way street? I don't even remember. Dude opens his door, and I just remember being like, oh, and like not even be able to like finish cursing because I hit the door.
Oh,
but like,
wow.
All simultaneously, like turning my bicycle to avoid the door, mm-hmm. and just like not being able to steer out of the way entirely. So I hit the edge of the door with my face.
Wow.
She's got a whole gash like in her face, Sam. It's so.
Yeah, I have a scar and a slight speech impediment on my right side.
Wow. How long ago was that? Oh, when you were just in New York, right?
3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So it's been like 2.5 weeks since it happened. And I was going to be in New York for another week. So it's kind of a bummer, but I was able to hang out with Victoria and Kieran. They're staying with Kieran's brother. And just like to have sort of a home base, because at that point I was just going to visit some people that I knew in New York and kind of bounce around and do whatever. And I was like, I cannot do that with a huge gash on my face. But, you know, like it kind of sucks.
She's so funky and quirky and cute, Sam. Like, yeah. She's just got this style and this pizzazz about her. And like now she's just got like this gash in her chin. That's just like,
oh my God. Is that going to get any better?
Want to like just, well, I don't know, I'm going to the doctor for an actual like more legitimate follow-up, because I don't know, I feel like I got kind of dicked over in New York.
Yeah, but you didn't break your jaw or anything, right?
Well, I am able to and whatnot. I think I may eventually need some dental work, because just it hit like on my jaw, mm-hmm. but the way that like, angle that it hit, it sort of like pressed up towards the under, like where the jawline meets like where the teeth are.
Right.
So they didn't give me an x-ray, so you know, shows you know how.
Did you guys know we have a tongue bone?
A tongue bone.
Huh? We have a tongue bone.
A tongue bone.
A tongue bone. It's right here. It's called the hyoid. I just learned this in biology yesterday. I just thought I would tell you guys since we're talking about mouths.
So I mean, I'm impressed. You're still laughing. I mean, shit, I'd be so so fucking.
Oh, apparently, while she was down on the ground, she was telling jokes.
I was telling jokes.
Really?
Because I think for me, like I think I get more like emotionally injured and or take that on for people, but like I mean, not saying that I don't get physically injured, obviously I do, but that it doesn't affect me in the same way, just because like it happened so fast and like that whole area was numb, like it didn't hurt. The EMTs asked me like one being an itch, 10 being childbirth, which I wouldn't know anything about. Like, how much did it hurt? And I was like, one. And they're like, we're going to put down a two. I was like, okay, whatever. But, like, I couldn't feel anything. It was just annoying. And, like, my face is bleeding and dripping down my neck. But otherwise, I was fine.
Honey bunny.
So I was with all these riders who were taking care of me and, like, you know, putting pressure on the wound with some gauze so it wouldn't, like, keep bleeding. And, you know, just to, like, look up and see all these worried faces, I'm like, guys, I'm going to be okay. Because I think the scariest thing is not knowing how to deal with one of those situations. Like, if you're not the person injured, that you have no idea how to gauge how injured they are.
Yeah.
So I just started telling jokes. And they're like, maybe you shouldn't move your mouth because, you know, like, like right under is this huge gash that we're trying to keep closed until the ambulance.
You see, I'm like so superficial. It's like I wouldn't care anything about the wound as long as I still looked good, you know?
Oh, my God, Sam.
I mean, what? Are you going to have a scar for the rest of your life on your face?
It's possible. I mean, what the dude's insurance is going to pay for all my medical bills, which is, you know, really all I could ask for.
That's
but
amazing.
They said that if I still have scarring that, like, is pretty significant, I can file a claim for, like, bodily injury and, like, get a settlement from that or what have you.
Mm.
That could be really cool. Like, think of all the bikes we could buy.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to be able to function because part of the thing is that, like, the right lower corner of my mouth is kind of numb, so I nip it a lot, and like because it would get in the way and I can't feel it, and so I'm like chewing and like biting on it, and like I can't smile fully. Mm-hmm. I can whistle, which is fine.
I can whistle,
like, seriously, like, as it sounds so corny, but like when I was a kid I thought like my only talent in life was that I could whistle. I was like, I have nothing else but I can whistle. That's fine.
Oh,
so if I would have lost that, like, I probably would be freaking out a little. Like,
yeah.
Thank God for the little things.
I know, and I don't hear a speech impediment, so that's good, you know?
Well, that's because I'm talking on the left side.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I
think if you face me on the right side, it's a little different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been.
Maybe it'll be good
it.
For sucking dick, Hanako. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
See,
you know, it's like
I was saying that I don't have to because I can't open my mouth and like entirely. So
right.
It's like,
oh, you can't suck dick now.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Yeah.
Well, like, that's what I was going to suggest. If you train sucking dicks, you know, for a while, and it'd be like physical therapy, you know?
Oh, my God, that could be physical therapy. Sam, you're brilliant.
Aren't I, though?
Oh, my God.
I think I'll just stick with blow pops, not blowjobs. I mean, not like I need an excuse. I probably would tell a boy, it's like, they're like, want to give me a blowjob? It's like, no, not really.
Yeah, you can lick it instead. That's
just
fine.
Lick it, lick
yeah.
it.
Yeah, like a lollipop.
Lick it like a lolly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. Nope. Well, we'll let you get back to work, because I know you're going to probably get in trouble if people catch you talking to us.
Not really. No. I mean, my supervisor's out half the time. But, yeah, for my sanity, I'd like to get my work done so I don't get chewed out about what they can't accomplish.
Yeah.
All right,
cool.
But,
well, thanks for calling in, Hanako. Love you, Hanako.
Mwah.
Love you, too. Bye.
You love all my
that's
friends.
Cool. Yes, I do. I do. In fact, I do. So, where do you know her from?
Biking.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
God, so all your friends are bike friends, right?
Not all of them.
Pretty much.
Just certain groups of them, definitely.
Yeah.
The only scar that I ever had on my face that was like really, really like bad was when I was hunting in Africa. Mm-hmm. And when I shot the 30-06 the first time, the scope came back and went kabam. And it split my head open right here.
Yeah.
Do you see that scar?
Uh-huh.
And you know, you're
near
out.
Near your eyebrow there.
Yeah, you're out in the bush in the middle of nowhere and like my head just was completely split open.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can't have any stitches. There's nothing there. So you tie like a dirty, sweaty, sandy, you know, bandana on your head and you have some vodka for the pain and like that's it.
Wow.
But when I came back to my job at the time, the bartending gig, the one where Faraday walked into, one of my customers, he was just like, you're not perfect anymore. Oh, my God. And, you know, he's like, I'll pay for the plastic surgery. And he would bring me, like, Mederma or Madeira or whatever that cream is every day for scars. I'm like, fuck you, dude. This is my badge of honor. I'm going to wear it with pride. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm going to see, like, the, you know, the zebra and, like, the village of kids that I fed.
Yeah. Well, you had to pay a little price for killing an animal, even though you're trying to tell us it was for good,
noble reason. What do you mean trying to tell you? Ay, ay, ay. Shut up.
Victoria, so what do you like to do for fun? I mean, do you have any? Into music, dancing?
Yeah, I love all kinds of 60s music, like garage, psychedelic.
Oh, really?
I like soul music.
Really?
What's soul music exactly?
That's black music. But, well, you know, it's you like... Know, think of the Supremes. Not the stuff you have now. Yeah, exactly.
Of who? The Supremes?
Old 60s soul. It's like...
You're kind of like, stuff. I could see you, oh my God, couldn't you see her living in the 60s? As like a little, I could see her as like a little go-go dancer.
Yeah. I love dancing.
No, they call like R&B and stuff, you know, but that's, you know, that's pretty much what it is, you know, predominantly black music and with soul. I mean, you're right. I mean, the 70s,
that's like 80s, rock and roll. Some, that's where rock and roll
yeah,
came from,
so. You know, and it's yeah, they got some amazing music, you
they
know.
They got soul, sister.
Soul machine, yeah. But they don't have that much anymore. Now we get hip-hop.
Maybe you could recommend some good music for Sam to play on the radio, because...
Well, it's because Sam can't play the songs he wants to play or the songs you want to play.
Oh, okay. Okay?
I have to teach her this after all this time.
I know these things, but... Yeah. I still got to give you shit when I can.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Victoria, when was the first time you had sex?
I was probably 16.
Really?
Yeah. Probably 16.
Well, she can't remember that
I was
much,
a sophomore. So
really?
16.
Was it good the first time?
Yeah, and I'm really happy, you know, about the person I did it with.
That's good.
He was really nice and, you know.
Yeah.
You had good sex the first time you had
sex?
Yeah,
I mean, that's unusual.
Well, the first time I, like, cried and shit like that. But, you know, the person was...
I know. What is it with crying? I mean, I used to be with this woman.
It hurts.
Oh, okay. But, okay, so that was then, you know. But, I mean, sometimes I used to know this woman, and we would go to bed and stuff, and she would always cry afterwards. And like,
after all, that's not good.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? No, it was because it was releasing emotion for her. Shut up, okay? Shut up.
Oh, that's not good for you, Sam. Oh, boy.
So you're saying I'm trying to rationalize it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
No, I'm telling you, that's what it was, you know?
Wait, what was it again? He's giving me like this death stare.
What? What do you mean, what was it again?
Why did she cry in your mind?
Well, she told me why. She just said it's like such... Orgasm is such a release of emotions that I guess, you know, all the emotions would come out.
Wow. Every time?
No, not every time. Not every time. Then I would be suspicious. But no, not every time. And it wasn't that kind of a cry either. You know, shut up.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, Sammy.
No, it's okay. It's all right. You know, I'm just saying.
Pry some more stuff out of Victoria.
Okay, I'm trying. Well, what do you want to know about her, Susie?
Have you ever had a lesbian experience?
Oh God, it was awful. Yeah.
Really?
It was so gruesome.
Gruesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear about it. What happened?
Oh. Well,
how old were you at the time?
I think I was 16.
16?
Yeah.
Before you went to sleep with a guy?
No, after.
Oh, after. Okay. So what happened?
I was at a party and, oh, I don't like drinking because of this moment. I drank a whole bottle of wine to myself and there was this girl there and I knew her. Her name was Danica. And first she was just really nice and we were like having fun and partying and then... You know, she kind of was trying to, like, you know...
She leaned in for a kiss.
Pick up on me, and I thought, you know, hey, maybe she really likes me. Maybe I could really like her, too. And then, you know, we were both really drunk, and shit happened, and the lights were off, and someone opened the door and turned on the lights, and I looked down, like, my stomach and my mouth and my, like, chest. Uh-huh. It was all covered in blood, and this bitch even tell me that she was on her period. And I should have known because it tasted like metal, and I was so like horrified. Oh. She jumped out of the bed and, you know, continued to party, and I ran for the bathroom, and I was vomiting, and it was all red, and it freaked me out.
No.
It was the red wine, of course, but, and I passed out in the shower. And
so you were eating her out, right?
My friend had to come and save me.
So you were eating her out, right? And then it started, it was bloody and everything.
It was really awful, and I'd never...
Wouldn't do it again, huh?
No, well, I don't like girls like that. Yeah, I like them. Oh. I'd like them to be my friend.
Right.
I can't even imagine that.
It was awful. I was so pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you say anything to her afterward?
Yeah, I wrote her a nasty email, and then she, was yeah, mad she, at me.
I mean, she ruined you for life, goddammit. We could have had a beautiful lesbian here.
No, I don't think so. See, like, you know, I need the penetration.
Yeah,
remember?
You do need the penetration.
That wouldn't have
well,
worked.
Well, there are such things as strap-ons and shit, you know.
Strap-ons sound so unromantic.
They are. They are.
There's nothing romantic about a strap-on.
But who says they're supposed to be romantic? It's about sex, not
romance.
Well,
when romance. You're having sex, like, I don't know. You want it to be a little bit romantic. I mean, even if it's downright dirty and disgusting and just, like, yummy.
Well, look, I think lesbians, if they want something emotional and sentimental and stuff, then they don't do penetration, maybe, you know? But, I mean, if you want just wild sex, then you put your fucking dildo in there, you know? I mean, what the hell?
Well, a dildo is different than a strap-on, too. I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I love my dildo.
Yeah.
But that's only when, like, Franz can't get it up after we've already had sex.
Yeah.
And then, like, I want more sex. Mm-hmm. And so
fucking
then,
Franz.
Fucking Franz. What do you think? What do you think about the Franz and me?
I mean, I like you guys, but you guys are, like, different.
Very different. Yeah. You see, that's the thing. I don't know if they're that different. You know? I really don't.
What?
Yeah. I mean, you guys are both crazy. I mean, look. I don't know. You guys seem to get along just fine.
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, she's in love with the guy.
No, I'm not.
You know, and he treats her like shit.
No,
don't tell
I'm
me
not.
You're not.
If I were, I wouldn't have gone on Casual Encounters yesterday.
Bullshit. You've
and
done
I wouldn't
it
be,
anyway.
And I wouldn't be joining J-Date.
You do shit anyway. You're
and
just
I wouldn't
like,
have had a threesome with the two Harvard lawyers.
Yeah, she just liked to lead men on, you know? I mean, if I fucking met someone in Casual Encounters, I would expect sex, and I'm sure he did too. And then he realized, fuck, I've been fooled by this chick.
Seriously,
did he buy you
though.
Anything? Lunch? Dinner?
Coffee.
Drinks?
Yes,
just
yes,
coffee?
Yeah. Wow. That's all I had time for. I only had 30 minutes to see him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Then I told him, I was like, I'll be there at 2:30. I have to leave at 3. So I did. And when I left, he was like horrified and kind of in shock. He's like, you're leaving? Really? And I was like, I told you I have to leave at 3.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got statistics class. He's like, if I met some like super hot guy, you know, and you know, blah, 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 blah. He's like, I would skip statistics class.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know what?
Is he hot? Was he hot?
He's pretty hot.
Yeah.
But in like a dorky, geeky kind of way. Mm. I don't know.
Whatever
that means. You know, and like in the sense that like he totally looks like a writer. You know, he's got the glasses and he's got like the curly hair and kind of just like the preppy look to him. But I don't know, he pulled it all together. He's got like a little bit of stubble with like some, you know, a little bit of gray coming through in his beard. So it was kind of sexy.
Yeah. How old do you think he was?
I would go like 35-ish.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm completely random. And then I met another person on Random Encounters that wants to take me out to lunch today.
Oh.
So.
You're going to go? Free
no,
lunch?
No, I'm not going to go.
No. Why not with this guy?
I don't know. It's all the way in Santa Monica, and he wants to meet at 11:30, and that's too early.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
She's a busy man.
I'm very busy.
Busy man.
Do you call me a man?
Yeah,
a
busy man.
What the fuck do you call me a man for?
I don't know. It just came out that way.
Jesus.
You know, I mean, it's a phrase, a busy man, you know?
I've never heard that.
I think the phrase is busy bee.
Yes, I'm going to agree with you on that.
No, you say, I'm a busy man. I don't have time for that.
Well, men say that, but women don't say that.
Okay, fine. Okay, it just came out. What the fuck? You gonna hang me for
you
that?
You called me a man.
Okay. I didn't call you a man, okay? But, I mean, what do you want me to call you? I mean, for crying out loud.
Call me fucking, Susie.
You're going on Casual Encounters. I don't know. I don't know. I went looking at it once out of curiosity, and all I saw was fucking hookers bullshit. You know?
You really should go. You really should check it out again because they've got some really funny, entertaining things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not checking it out. I don't want casual.
There was this one guy. There was this one guy in there. All he wanted to do, he's like, all I want to do is lick your pussy. He's like, I swear you don't have to reciprocate. I don't want anything from you. I just want to lick your pussy.
Yeah.
And he went into a rather beautiful and articulate dialogue about all the things that he wanted to do to your pussy.
Yeah.
Well.
I didn't want to say it, but it was me. You know, it sounds definitely like me.
No, but it's seriously like really good entertainment. And then this one guy, seriously, after we just started going back and forth and talking, it just seemed like he was a really intelligent human being, and you know, he really didn't seem creepy. So I was like, all right, I'll meet you for coffee. So what's so wrong with that? I don't know.
What's so wrong? Would you do it, Victoria? Would you go on Craigslist?
Not Craigslist. I mean, that's...
Well, that's the thing. Is that that's what we're trying to say.
I don't know, but I definitely have met a stranger like on the internet before, and I was nervous at first, but, you know.
Yeah, you met him in person?
Yeah.
Really?
What was it like?
He was like my boyfriend for 7 months.
Wow, nice.
Ah.
So where'd you meet on the internet?
What's that?
Yeah.
Like what site?
What site?
Oh, MySpace.
Oh, MySpace.
Really?
Excuse me.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I met a guy on Friendster. This was back before your age, sweetheart.
Okay.
before your time. God, I feel so old sometimes. Friendster was before MySpace.
Right.
Oh my god, it was so awful. But yeah, I ended up meeting this one guy on here. And I actually just talked to him yesterday. He's back on the East Coast. His name's Todd. But so he had this really snotty thing on his thing that was like, "I have professional headshots. Do you?" And so I was like, what a fucking arrogant, pompous prick that guy is. But he was super hot. So I sent a message back. I was like, actually, I do have professional headshots. Like, I was a child model, like, da-da-da-da-da. And I was with Ford Modeling Agency. And he was just like, really? And so then we just started going back and forth and just, like, having these little witty, things going back and forth for like, months and months and months. And then we would always have breakfast together on Sundays, you know, just on the phone. And we would start talking on the phone and have breakfast in my bed, and he would be in his bed in a different state.
Yeah.
And then one day he actually was like, let's meet. And so we met, and then we ended up dating for I don't know, many months after that. But so you can meet cool people on the internet.
I suppose you can.
You met your wife on the internet. What are you talking about?
No, but I mean, you go on fucking casual encounters on Craigslist, for crying out loud. You get to compare it to
J-Day? Well, this is your fault.
My fault.
It's all your fault that I went on casual encounters yesterday.
Why is that?
If you hadn't been fatigued, I would have been in the studio doing the show, and I wouldn't have been on casual encounters. So it's your fault.
Yeah, but you could have gone on later.
No, but
you were already
have.
Curious about it.
Because I would have gone straight from the station to school.
Yeah, but you said you were already curious about it.
I wouldn't have done it if it hadn't been for you, Sam. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You.
Okay. So she got to meet another guy, thanks to me.
Yes,
cool.
Thank you.
Cool. So, Victoria, what's next for you?
What's next for me? Hopefully I find a job and save some money up and get a place of my own.
So what do you want to do? So you want to do waxing or the whole shebang,
I want to be an esthetician. I'm hoping to find a place like a spa or maybe a plastic surgeon's office.
Try the ones downstairs. We have a spa right underneath us. Yeah.
Actually,
go inside and see what the hell, you know? And tell them you worked for me. I have a salon. Okay?
I'll tell them you've waxed my asshole.
Yeah. Tell them you have a salon. It's called LA Talk Salon and
LA
Spa.
LA Talk Salon.
Yeah. And you worked for me for a few years. I'd give you great, great references.
Well, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, of course.
Seriously, and you worked for Susie's salon as well, so we'll create all these little lives.
Exactly, Susie's salon, yeah. Susie's beauty center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you got to do, otherwise you won't get in.
I really, I know that this is what I want to do, so.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, it's cool, and you're going to make a lot of women beautiful, I'm sure.
Make them feel good and relaxed.
Yeah. Do you do, like, facial masks and shit like that,
too?
Yeah. Do men do that too?
Definitely.
Really, huh? I mean, it seemed kind of gay, but I can totally. My wife's been on me for forever to
get a facial.
Get a facial.
Oh, you would love it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why? What does it do?
It just makes you feel like so fresh and clean, and like it just exfoliates like a whole layer of like skin off, and like you've got like virgin skin on your face afterwards.
Wow.
And seriously, like the pores feel very tight, but yet moisturized. And as soon as like you hit the air, you're just like, oh god, I feel like $1 million bucks.
Really, I should do it.
And you look good, and you just feel good.
Yeah, but right after you look like shit, though, right?
No, not if you have
blotches and shit like that.
Well, you know,
the first time you can have a flare up, but then it's all good.
Wow.
Hmm. Maybe actually, you know what you should do? Maybe you should start your own business and like just like do homework, like you know, go to rich people's homes and like work as
people
a.
Do that.
I'll
get you a couple of clients.
I once spoke with this older woman and she was like, "Oh, you're an esthetician? I have a perfect idea for you. Why don't you call this little club the Book Club, and you get a group of women together, and you know, you give a little facial, and then you sell vibrators." She's like, "And we'll call it the Book Club, and I'll package it all." And
that could actually be really cool.
She was like, "The women will go to the Book Club and get their facials and their Botox done and their vibrators, while the men go cheat on them."
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Wow.
Wow.
What a great idea.
I never thought of that together.
Yeah.
Vibrators.
No, but really,
I'll do the vibrator aspect, and you do the skin.
Yeah. I should really start thinking about it and get you some clients. You can start that way, you know?
Totally.
Sure. I mean, every woman is a potential client, right?
Exactly.
Every woman that cares about how she looks.
True.
Which is every woman.
Yeah. Not really.
Mostly.
Really? I hope so.
Even if they don't, like, they look like they don't care, I'm sure they really do care.
Mm.
They're just so far gone that they're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
There's nothing
just
else I could do.
Fucking slobs or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let me tell you, not every woman is attractive, that's for sure. You know, we were watching TV last night. I mean, I never watch TV, but I had to
You always say that. You always preface, I was watching TV last night with I never watched TV.
Because I wasn't really watching it. That's the point. No, my wife sits and watches TV. I work, right? But then I come and sit with her for 5-10 minutes. So there's the TV right
there. How nice
there.
Of you.
Yeah. So they had
family fun time in front of the TV.
They had Gwyneth Paltrow in Europe, like sampling all kinds of foods and shit, like really gourmet food, right? And next to her sits this Spanish woman and stuff that had like the ugliest fucking nose you could, you know. And I'm looking and I'm going, you know, I mean, look, two women, okay, and they're so fucking different from each other, you know. one you just want to like devour, and the other one you just want to run away from, you know.
Oh, that poor woman.
I'm sure she's used to it.
Everyone's beautiful somewhere. No, somehow.
Absolutely.
Maybe she's got a banging vagina.
Absolutely.
You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow has like a nasty, fat, stretched out one. You never know what's underneath
everything.
No,
absolutely. Everything. Absolutely. I have to agree.
You just got to get past the nose.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
All right. I see we're just about out of time. Do we have any announcements, messages, anything? We've got a lot of shows coming up. You know that our schedule is nearly full.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like only happened like the past few weeks where it's like the spots have just been going, you know? Mm. Everybody wants to talk, you know? Hard times, everybody wants to talk and have a show. So, all right. Well, I guess we never apologized for yesterday. We didn't come in yesterday because I, like already at night, I knew there's no way I can do like a 2-hour show tomorrow. I was totally, totally fatigued, you know? My brain couldn't work anymore.
It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I went on casual encounters.
Yes. Susie doesn't argue with that. That's cool. Yeah, I figured you'd get a day off. What the fuck?
Whatever. You know? I'm so easygoing, Sam.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Now, the final thing I wanted to ask you, you have an anagram on your shirt, right?
Yes.
STR. What's T for Tiffany?
No, it's my middle name for Teresita.
Teresita.
Yes.
I thought it would be for Tiffany for some reason.
I'm Suzanne Teresita Francis Raleigh.
That's like a Spanish name, isn't it? Teresita.
It's my grandmother's first name.
Speaking of which,
thank you. My last shout out is to my grandfather. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Papa!
Happy birthday, Papa!
Yeah.
I usually have a birthday song here, but not today.
Well, you don't have to play it because I'm hoping to God he's not listening to the show. Because that would be awful.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much.
Was it nice being had?
Yeah.
And Susie, we always have fun with your friends and stuff for sure.
Yes, yes.
So every time you don't even have to ask me, just bring him along.
I will.
And Victoria, all the best to you. Congratulations on finishing school and everything. And
we're going to get you a job.
Thank you.
Everybody who wants a facial or their vagina waxed, this is the place to be. You can just call us and you don't have to call on the air. We'll hook you up with Victoria.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Susie, thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too.
See you tomorrow.